Right now, like at this exact second, there is a former employee at some major global company who still has full administrative access to their old boss's emails.
Oh, absolutely. Happens all the time.
Right. And they probably quit, I don't know, 3 years ago,
Yeah.
moved on to a different company, maybe even a competitor. But the back-end system just never updated.
Yeah, just sits there.
Exactly. Sitting there in the dark like an unexploded landmine. And this invisible lingering access is exactly how the world's most catastrophic data breaches happen.
Because we used to think about digital security as, well, building a massive castle, you know.
Build a giant wall and you're fine.
Right, you set up a giant firewall, that's your moat, you put all your servers inside, and as long as nobody breached that perimeter, your data was safe.
But that entire castle doctrine completely broke down, didn't it?
Completely. The moment people started taking the data outside the walls on their personal phones or working from coffee shops, you're no longer dealing with a clean geographic boundary where an employee is either securely inside the office network or, you know, safely locked out.
The perimeter's just evaporated. I mean, we have remote work, a massive explosion of cloud computing, hundreds of overlapping SaaS applications for every single department.
It's
It
chaos.
is, which leaves enterprise security teams staring into this terrifying void, asking, like, if the perimeter is no longer the network firewall, what actually protects the company?
And that is the exact problem we're looking at today.
Right, which brings us to our mission for today's deep dive, because the answer to that question is that the new perimeter is essentially a single critical frontline identity.
Yeah, identity is everything now.
Today, we are pulling from a stack of sources centered around a very specific, highly comprehensive career and industry guide. It's for something called SailPoint Identity Access Management Training.
Which is a massive field.
Huge. And we're specifically looking at why this training is absolutely booming in the tech hub of Hyderabad, India.
Yeah, it really reveals how a seemingly simple administrative task has morphed into one of the most critical security imperatives on the planet. And it's fundamentally reshaping the global tech workforce in the process.
So, the mission for you listening today is to understand how answering one remarkably simple question, like, who has access to what and why, has spawned a multi-billion-dollar industry.
A rapidly growing one, too.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to look at how mastering this specific niche is creating highly lucrative, basically automation-proof careers. Okay, let's unpack this, because to understand why a company like SailPoint is dominating this space and why the hiring floor in Hyderabad is so aggressive right now, we really have to look at the sheer chaos of modern IT that it's trying to govern.
Right. And to visualize that chaos, imagine a sprawling 1,000-room hotel. Guests check out every day, but the front desk just continually forgets to deactivate their digital key cards.
Oh, wow, that sounds like a nightmare.
It gets worse. Now imagine those guests handed those key cards to their friends or dropped them in the parking lot. Over 5 years, you have thousands of unauthorized people walking around the hotel, opening doors they shouldn't, accessing VIP suites.
And nobody has a master list of who actually belongs there.
Exactly. That is exactly what an enterprise cloud environment looks like before a proper governance platform is implemented. We call the discipline trying to fix this IAM, or Identity Access Management.
Okay, I am.
Yeah. In its most basic form, IAM is just about ensuring the right individuals have the appropriate access to the right resources at the right time.
So that basic IAM sounds a lot like the bouncer at a nightclub. You walk up to the front door, you show your ID, the bouncer checks the list, and you get let into the building.
That's a good way to look at it.
But SailPoint isn't just basic IAM, right? The sources emphasize their focus on a much deeper layer called IGA, Identity Governance and Administration.
Right. Sticking with your nightclub analogy, if basic IAM is the bouncer at the front door, SailPoint's IGA is like an internal security team shadowing you all night.
Wait, really? Just following you around?
Basically, yeah. They are auditing every single VIP room you enter. They are constantly checking a highly detailed clipboard to ensure you're still supposed to be in that specific room based on, you know, your current job description, your clearance level, and the time of night.
So it's not a one-time check.
No, not at all. It's not just about turning the key to let you in. It's about continuously answering the audit-grade question of whether your access is still legally and operationally justified.
And building that clipboard must be an absolute nightmare. I mean, a major corporation doesn't just have one list of employees in an Excel
Oh,
file.
I wish it were that simple.
Right. SailPoint has to plug into the HR system, the internal phone book, which is usually Active Directory, plus all the cloud databases, financial applications, and like legacy mainframes from the 90s.
Yeah, they have to connect to everything.
It pulls all of that fragmented data together to build a single governed view of every user and every single digital asset they can touch.
And what's fascinating here is that companies rarely find enough people who understand both the underlying technology of these complex integrations and the overarching governance discipline behind it.
It's a rare combo.
Very rare. A well-run IGA program reduces the risk of a catastrophic data breach while simultaneously speeding up business operations.
How does it speed things up, though? Usually security slows things down.
Well, because new hires actually get the tools they need on day one instead of waiting 3 weeks for IT tickets to clear.
Oh, right. Because the system knows what they need automatically.
Exactly. That dual value crippling risk reduction and massive operational speed is why this specific intersection of skills is at such a premium right now.
I really want to look under the hood here. How does this governance actually work mechanically? Because the people sitting in these training programs in Hyderabad aren't just, you know, philosophizing about security. They have to learn a very specific mechanical vocabulary to make this software function.
Right. They have to actually build it. And the mechanical foundation of everything they learn revolves around lifecycle management. In the industry, it's commonly referred to as the joiner mover lever process.
Okay, I have to push back on that immediately. The joiner mover lever process sounds entirely like a human resources function.
It does sound like HR, yeah.
Why does an IT department need a massive, highly complex software platform to handle the fact that Dave in accounting just got promoted to senior manager? HR just updates his title in their software, right?
HR definitely updates his title, yes. But HR systems are fundamentally administrative. They do not have the technical capability to reach across the network into a highly sensitive Amazon Web Services environment or like a proprietary SQL database and actively revoke the administrative privileges Dave had in his old junior role.
Oh, I see. So HR knows Dave move.
But the 50 separate software systems Dave logged into every day do not care what HR knows.
Ah, I see the friction. So Dave gets his new manager permissions, but he also just keeps his old junior permissions.
Exactly. Which leads to what the industry calls privilege creep.
Privilege creep.
Yeah. Employees accumulate this massive snowball of access as they change roles over a decade, never losing the old permissions. It is a staggering security flaw.
Because if a hacker compromises Dave's account 5 years from now through a simple phishing email,
they suddenly have the keys to back-end systems Dave hasn't even thought about in half a decade.
Wow.
To stop that, SailPoint uses a mechanism called aggregation. The system is relentlessly pulling account and entitlement data from every target system in the company to maintain an accurate, real-time picture of who holds what.
That makes the next concept in the sources make a lot of sense. The sources talk about access certification.
Yes, a huge part of IGA.
Right, because if SailPoint is constantly pulling all this data, a human still has to verify it eventually. So access certification is just a periodic review where managers log in and formally click approve or revoke on the access their direct reports hold.
And that clicking process is the absolute heart of compliance. I mean, an auditor doesn't care if your software is fancy. They care if a human manager legally certified that the access was necessary.
Right.
And to make that manager's life easier, you have concepts like birthright access. This is the baseline access everyone gets automatically when they walk in the door. An email address, a Slack account, basic intranet access.
Stuff everyone needs, which ties into RBAC, right? Role-based access control.
Exactly.
Because if Dave manages 50 people, he doesn't want to click approve on 200 individual software permissions for every single person. RBAC basically bundles those granular entitlements into a single role that maps directly to a job function.
And mastering how to model those roles without breaking the business is a massive career differentiator for SailPoint professionals. Roles have to align with strict frameworks like NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Okay, so how is this mechanically deployed? The sources break down two flagship products that learners master.
Right, two main ones. First is SailPoint Identity IQ, or IIQ. This is their traditional on-premises suite. It is highly customizable, and it's favored by massive, complex enterprises. It runs on a connector layer to integrate with systems, an aggregation engine to pull data in, and a governance layer where the policies actually live.
And the sources mentioned the custom rules for IIQ are written in a scripting language called Bean Shell.
Yeah, Bean Shell.
Yeah.
Which is essentially a lightweight version of Java. It's used to write highly specific custom logic when the out-of-the-box software just doesn't fit the company's weird internal processes.
Because every big company has weird internal processes.
Oh, without fail. But the industry is heavily shifting toward their second product, Identity Security Cloud, or ISC.
That's the newer one.
Yes, built on their modern Alice architecture, and it's fully SaaS-based. It completely removes the massive infrastructure and server hosting burden from the client. Plus, it heavily utilizes AI-driven recommendations to help managers make those access decisions we talked about.
So the mechanics are incredibly deep, dealing with massive data sets and complex logic. But why is there such a ferocious urgency to implement these specific tools right now? I mean, why the sudden boom?
We're looking at a perfect storm of three converging macro forces. First, as we establish, the remote work and cloud explosion shattered the perimeter.
Right, the castle walls fell down.
Exactly. The sheer volume of non-human identities, APIs, and cloud access points an organization has to govern has grown exponentially.
And the second force is how attackers are exploiting that volume. The sources note that identity-based attacks like phishing, credential theft, and privilege abuse have become the leading cause of data breaches.
By far. Hackers aren't writing complex code to break through firewalls anymore.
They don't need to.
Right. They're simply buying stolen credentials on the dark web and logging in through the front door.
And the third, perhaps most financially potent force is regulatory pressure. We are seeing massive global frameworks bare their teeth.
Oh, the regulators are not playing around anymore.
No, they really aren't. You've got SOX for financial data, GDPR in Europe, HIPAA in healthcare, and India's DPDP Act, the Digital Personal Data Protection Act. And they all share one common demand: demonstrable, audit-proof control over who can access sensitive data.
And if you don't have it, you pay for it.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Think about the reality of a regulation like the DPDP Act. Imagine a massive enterprise, maybe a telecom company, that has spent 10 years letting privilege creep run wild.
Just accumulating junk access.
Exactly. Anyone in the company could potentially be holding the keys to sensitive citizen data. Then they get a letter that a massive compliance audit is scheduled in 6 months.
The panic in that boardroom would be visceral.
Right. Without a centralized tool, they would have to hire hundreds of people to manually cross-reference spreadsheets just to figure out who has access to the customer database. They are essentially forced to buy a platform like SailPoint, not just for security, but to generate the pristine, undeniable reports the government auditors demand.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that regulatory panic changes the entire economic dynamic of the IGA industry. Because identity is now treated as a primary legal control, adopting the software is no longer an optional IT luxury.
It's mandatory.
It is a mandatory cost of doing business. You either pay for SailPoint or you pay catastrophic regulatory fines. There's no third option.
The financial trajectory outlined in the sources backs that up heavily, too. Independent research from Grandview Research values the IGA market at roughly $7.95 billion in 2024.
Which is already huge.
Right. But they project it to reach $27.11 billion by 2033. We are talking about a compound annual growth rate of 14.9%. That is explosive expansion for a highly niche enterprise software.
But here's the catch-up. A massive market valuation doesn't implement the software. Buying the licenses is easy.
Anyone can write a check.
Exactly. Finding the human beings who know how to architect the roles, write the bean shell scripts, and manage the compliance lifecycle, that is the real bottleneck.
Which perfectly explains why the talent gap is so severe right now, and why the city of Hyderabad has become such a focal point for training. Because if the market is mandatory, who is doing the actual heavy lifting?
The supply of skilled professionals simply lags behind the corporate demand. We just walked through how complex the mechanics are. It requires a rare blend of system configuration, light coding, and deep, almost legalistic governance strategy.
It's not a common skill set.
No, it's not. And Hyderabad has uniquely positioned itself to fill this massive void.
The sources highlight that outside of Bengaluru, Hyderabad is arguably the strongest Indian city for cybersecurity careers right now.
It's an unparalleled ecosystem for this specific niche. The city hosts an incredible density of global capability centers, or GCCs.
And these aren't just like small satellite offices, right?
No, these are massive, thousands of seats campuses for multinationals like Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Deloitte, plus major global banks and pharmaceutical giants. These are the exact types of highly regulated organizations running the largest SailPoint deployments on Earth.
And the talent pool there benefits massively. Hyderabad offers a lower cost of living compared to Mumbai or Bengaluru, which allows professionals to build wealth faster. Plus, it has a highly mature, specialized IT training infrastructure.
The training ecosystem there is incredible.
Yeah. If you master the platform there, you are literally down the street from the hiring floors of global giants desperate for the skill.
It's a very compelling opportunity. But, you know, we should probably address the friction here. Taking on this career path is intimidating.
It absolutely is, and that's a fear I want to address for anyone listening who might be a system admin or a support tech looking to pivot. Looking at requirements like Java-based web apps and bean shell custom roles sounds incredibly steep.
It scares people off.
Yeah. Do you need a 4-year computer science degree and hardcore programming chops just to get your foot in the door?
The source material is very clear on this, actually. You do not need deep Java knowledge to start.
Okay, that's a relief.
Right. The roadmap is highly logical and tiered. You start by mastering the fundamental IGA concepts, navigating the UI, understanding how a certification campaign works, tracking the lifecycle. At that entry stage, you only really need basic SQL.
Which is just a standard language for querying databases, right? You just need to be able to ask the system, hey, show me all the users in the marketing department so you can troubleshoot why someone's access is broken.
Exactly that. You are reading data, you're not building complex applications. As you advance from an administrator into a developer role, that is when you encounter the friction of legacy systems.
Like trying to connect to a dinosaur mainframe.
Exactly. You might need to connect a modern SaaS app to a 20-year-old on-premise server. They don't speak the same language.
Yeah.
So you learn REST API integration, which is essentially writing the translation layer so they can talk to each other.
Makes sense.
And that is when you pick up enough Java and Bean Shell to write the specific custom rules. You learn the code strictly to serve the governance process. You do not need to be a full-stack software engineer on day one.
Okay, that makes the learning curve sound much more manageable. But how do you actually learn it? The sources heavily emphasize the value of structured, mentor-led training over just buying a textbook or reading documentation online.
Well, reading a manual about identity governance is like reading a manual about flying a commercial jet. You might understand the theory, but you will crash the plane.
That's a great way to put it.
Structured training provides access to live Identity IQ and ISC sandboxes. You actually practice aggregating messy data, provisioning accounts, and running mock certification campaigns. That hands-on friction, you know, fixing things when they break in the sandbox, is exactly what hiring managers probe for during technical interviews.
Let's contextualize the career ladder and the financial reality, because the salaries listed in the sources are a massive draw. But we need to understand why they are so high. The path generally follows 4 steps. You start as an administrator, making roughly 4 to 7 lakhs per year in India.
Right, entry level.
And at that level, you are managing day-to-day operations, making sure the platform is healthy.
Then you transition to a developer, sitting in the 8 to 15 lakhs range. That's where you are building those API connectors and writing the custom bean shell rules we talked about.
Okay.
From there, you move to an engineer consultant, making 16 to 28 lakhs. Now you're designing end-to-end solutions, often mapping out how to deploy SailPoint across multiple disparate business units.
And finally, you hit the IAM or IGA architect level, pulling in upwards of 30 to 50 plus lakhs a year.
That's the top of the mountain.
But a company isn't paying 50 lakhs just because you know how to write good code, right? At the architect level, you are taken on the regulatory liability of the enterprise. If your architecture fails and the wrong person gets access to the financial database, the company makes international headline news for a breach.
And they get hit with a $1 billion fine.
Exactly. That top-tier salary is essentially hazard pay for protecting the entire organization from legal ruin.
It is a massive responsibility. And, you know, it's worth clarifying where SailPoint sits in the broader security landscape here, because a lot of IT professionals might wonder how this differs from tools they already use every day, like Okta or ServiceNow.
Right. If I log into my company portal through Okta every morning, why does my company also need to pay for SailPoint?
Think of Okta as the actual front door. Its primary focus is access management. So workforce login, single sign-on, multi-factor authentication. It asks, are you really who you say you are right now?
Okay.
ServiceNow, on the other hand, is IT service management. It's the ticketing system you use to ask for a new laptop or request software.
So where does SailPoint fit?
SailPoint's center of gravity operates entirely behind the scenes. 3 weeks before you even logged into Okta, SailPoint was the invisible governance engine that decided Okta should even grant you an account in the first place.
Oh, wow.
And it dictated exactly which internal apps Okta should display on your dashboard based on your HR profile. They don't compete with each other. Enterprise environments intertwine them.
So what does this all mean? We have a rapidly expanding market, a clear talent pipeline in Hyderabad, and high-stakes, highly compensated roles. But I have one final major pushback for you.
All right, let's hear it.
You mentioned SailPoint's cloud platform is already integrating AI to recommend access decisions, with AI models writing code and automating administrative tasks at lightning speed across the industry. Aren't we just funneling people into training for a job that an AI agent is going to automate away in like 3 years?
It is the existential question for every tech career right now. Ooh. I completely get the concern.
Yeah, it's on everyone's mind.
But the sources provide a brilliant defense of this specific niche. Identity governance is uniquely resilient to the automation pressures commoditizing general IT work because it is tethered to human legal liability.
Because an AI can't go to jail for a compliance failure.
Precisely. Identity involves incredibly complex, idiosyncratic business logic that changes every time a company acquires a new startup or enters a new regulated market.
The rules are always shifting.
Always. An AI can analyze a user's behavior and recommend that Dave loses his database access. But a human expert still needs to architect the overarching compliance policy. A human manager must formally sign off to satisfy the government auditor.
AI is just a tool, then?
Yes. AI is a powerful tool that will make SailPoint architects much faster at finding anomalies. But it cannot absorb the regulatory liability of governance.
It all comes back to liability and human context. So, to summarize our journey today, we started with the complete collapse of the traditional network firewall, exploring how a platform like SailPoint steps in to govern the sprawling, invisible chaos of modern digital access.
And we saw the macro forces driving it.
Yeah, we've seen how the terrifying convergence of cloud expansion, credential theft, and strict data laws has forged a multi-billion dollar mandatory market. And we've seen how the concentrated ecosystem in Hyderabad is frantically minting the next generation of highly paid, highly skilled professionals to keep those critical systems running.
It really forces us to recognize that security is no longer about walls. It is entirely about identity.
Yeah.
Which actually brings up a fascinating frontier.
Oh,
we've spent this entire time talking about governing human access, human joiners, human movers, human leavers. But organizations are rapidly deploying thousands of autonomous AI agents, bots, and automated scripts that also need independent access to databases and cloud environments to do their jobs.
Wait, really? Non-human identity.
Yes. So how will the discipline of identity governance have to evolve when the identities holding the keys to the kingdom aren't even human?
Governing the bots. That's a wild and slightly terrifying frontier. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. As you go back to your day, whether you are logging into your email, your banking app, or your company dashboard, take a second to look around that digital VIP room and keep questioning who or what has access to your data.